Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app, one app, one tap. You can check us out on ESPN 2. You can download the podcast. You can say, play ESPN, and we pop up if you have smart speakers. Guys, Jay, I know you didn't sleep much last night.
Nope.
Yeah, you probably had to sleep one off, too. Would have been not a bad idea after that win, I imagine.
Last night was just, Max, it was surreal for me. In Chicago, right, this is where Coach K is from. At Chicago, cut last night with my boy Dave Kaplan here of ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood hanging with him, Justin Craig, our boss. Okay, just watching a game. Like, it's like last night I watched a team that literally 4 games ago I was like, yo, we're not going to get out of the second weekend. And I'm watching a team that has so much pressure on them, but they play with an ease last night. They play with this looseness that I haven't really seen them play with before. They play with it against Michigan State down the stretch where they answered call after call. And then to see Jeremy Roach, to see Paolo Bencaro really step up their game, especially for Roach. I've talked to you guys so many times about how difficult it is to process being a freshman point guard and not being robotic because you're trying to get everybody the ball at the right time. You're trying to manage the clock. You're trying to be an extension of Coach K on the floor. But for it to pan out for that, the way they played last night, they first time I'm saying all year, they are a championship contending team, and I couldn't say that before.
So Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K, at the post-game presser yesterday. Listen to this, guys.
God bless them. What a great group these kids. They've grown up so much in the last 12 days. It's such a joy. It's an amazing thing.
Seth Greenberg is giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Coach, good morning.
Morning, guys. What's going on?
What's going on is I was told this morning from someone whose number hangs in the rafters that the pressure on this team, because it's Coach K's final season and it could end at any moment, is galvanizing the Duke team to go on this run. Where are you on that?
Look, it could also be their last game also, because most of those guys are going to check out right after the season's over and, you know, they're on to their NBA careers. I actually think it's the job that Coach K's done with his team to get him to this point. The insertion of Jeremy Roach as a starter, empowering him. Look at the number of minutes he played compared to Trevor Keels. Think about at the end of the game, the switch to the zone, then the switch back to the man-to-man to disrupt the rhythm and take away the dribble penetration of Texas Tech. Jeremy Roach, the way he's playing, quite honestly. Mark Williams, the way he's playing. Paolo Bencaro, the big three in the corner was huge, but the way he's attacking and playing downhill, sure, they want to win for their coach. But, you know, they also want to have something hanging in the banner that reflects them. So I think it's a little bit of everything. I thought that Coach K showed great agility yesterday in coaching that game. Sticking with Jeremy Roach, number one. Number two, changing defenses, going to the zone, disrupting the rhythm of the game, keeping Texas Tech out of the lane. And then switching back to man-to-man once Texas Tech figured it out, going back to the man-to-man, which basically got Texas Tech out of rhythm for a little bit of period of time. So I thought he did a great job of mixing up his defenses. I thought he did a great job of staying with Roach. I thought that, obviously, they've got more pros than everyone else, and they played like it. And like Jay Will said, they played freed up. They did play freed up because they played freed up with a purpose to continue their season and their coach's season.
But, Seth, I know the season could end for everybody, but I'm telling you, after the Duke-North Carolina game, you just felt this weight on them because of all the attention that came along with that moment. And there is a feeling where it's like blanket. Like, we just got to play. We got to let go. Like, we got to let go. And that's what I felt like when I've been seeing them play over the last couple games. It's like they're letting go. And I think that is forcing them to come together differently. Granted, there's a lot of coaching, too. But there's something that's said about that, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, look, Jay, you would know better because, number one, you played for him. And you understand that bond and the respect that they have for him. You know, and that would be great because, let's face it, we live in a world. And look, the last game of Cameron, that wasn't a game. That was an event. I mean, that was an event. Yeah. That was a suffocating. Yeah. The second you walked into the building, it was just different. 90 players sitting behind a bench. Every time they come to timeout, they're looking up and seeing those guys. And you guys were all standing, by the way. You guys weren't sitting down. You guys were standing the whole game like, come on, let's go. And you know, that was an incredible amount of pressure on those guys, whether you said it or not. Like, I talked to Jay Billis the night before, and he said, well, you know, it was a typical shoot-around. They were loose. They were fine. You know, this is a different group. Yeah, that's great. Shoot-arounds are one thing. When the light bulb goes on, all right, it's totally different. I mean, you know, it reminds me of a story my college coach used to say is, you know, guy had one line in a play. You know, cannon goes off. He goes, Hark, is that a cannon I hear? Dress rehearsal, cannon goes off. He goes, boom, Hark, is that a cannon I hear? Second dress rehearsal, boom, Hark, is that a cannon I hear? Then he gets up. It's time the lights go on. The cannon goes off, and he goes, what the blank was that? You know, I mean, like, it's different when the lights go on and there's 90 former players sitting behind you. But I just thought that the decision they made defensively, the decision to say, Jeremy Roach, this is your team. Trevor Keels, you're a great player. You're physically strong. You're tough. But this team playing those veterans, whether it's Mark Williams, Jeremy Roach, Wendell Moore, and then complimenting them with Paolo Banchero, who's starting to take ownership in what the best player at Duke is supposed to do. You were the best player at Duke. At the end of a game, the best player at Duke is supposed to make plays. And that's what he did.
Coach, I thought about you yesterday a lot.
I know you did. I thought about you yesterday. I know you did. I was thinking about you too, big boy.
I said to myself, I should text him. But no, he's coming on the show, so I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait to just hear what he has to say about his Gonzaga Bulldogs and their number one seed year after year after year and getting bounced again. Look, Seth, we often talk about windows closing in professional sports on teams. Is this window starting to close for Gonzaga and Mark Few? Like, be honest with me. I know you're not a coach killer. I know you're not a coach killer, but come on.
You're right about that, but I'm an honest. No, because they're going to go recruit. They're going to have another great recruiting class, and they're going to put together another terrific team, and they're going to be the best team in the West Coast Conference. They conduct their business differently than anyone else in that conference, and they're going to beat high major teams in their non-conference schedule, and they're going to continue to acquire talent. But the game plan yesterday, and I'm just going to put it together. I'm going to put Gonzaga and Arizona together because they both come from the same coaching tree. All right? Both of those games, they were beat by tougher, harder-playing teams. Both of those games, they were beat by guards that disrupted the rhythm of the game. Both of those games, they were punched in the face. A game plan very similar to what Baylor did to them a year ago. All right? Basically, both coaches, all right, and it's in the DNA of Kelvin Sampson, and it's in the DNA of Musk. Both coaches said, you know what, cut off the head of the snake and we're going to win the game. What did they do? Absolutely took Andrew Nebhard out of the game, pushed Gonzaga one step further out, basically made it miserable for four players and played Drew Timmy soft, took them out. They were tougher. They played harder. They got every 50-50 ball, Arkansas. They were quicker to the ball, and that's the end of the story. They absolutely got beat. So, I mean, look, I'll take it like a big boy. I mean, I understand. But I disagree that they're not going anywhere, man. They're not going anywhere. They're gonna win 25 to 30 games next year. They're going to be in a conversation to get to the Final Four and win the national championship because that's who they are as a program.
Seth, what do you say to people who have the counter-argument that are like, oh, they're kind of like Russell Westbrook. They're empty stats. Like, they're getting these wins because they're in the West Coast Conference every single year, but it doesn't equate to winning championships.
They have more NCAA tournament wins in the last 10 years than anyone else in the country. How's that stat for you?
I'm trying to say.
I hate to jump in on y'all conversation right now, but Seth, how many championships? I don't give a damn about tournament wins. Championships.
Hey,
how many?
Key, let me ask you something. When you were at SC, you winning championships?
No.
Just checking.
I won the conference. USC is a historical program. Yeah, but we're not, as a football program, we're not sitting around every single year having the number one team and the number one seed coming away empty.
Hey, it's hard. In our sport, and you know, now with obviously college football playoffs, it's hard to win championship because, you know, it's a hit or miss, one bad game. And look, they have a great program. They haven't been able to get over the hump. They've gotten to multiple Final Fours. They've gotten to championship games. I would think a lot of people would say, if you look at their resume and what they've done in the NCAA tournament, That's an elite program right under a blue blood because they haven't won a national championship.
Right.
But
Seth, I hear you, brother. I'm just still making the counter argument. You know, I know you talk about the wins in a tournament, but they typically get those wins when you're number one seed and you're playing lesser opponents right out of the gate. You know what I mean?
But, like, but you're getting to Final Fours, Jay.
Wait, Jay.
I'm on your side, Seth. I'm just telling you what, when I try to come back, this is what people say to me. And I sometimes have a hard time refuting it.
But Coach just
said it.
Coach just said right under the Blue Bloods because of the lack of a title. I'm totally with that. They are very impressive with that. They like getting to a Final Four key is sort of like winning a bowl game in college football that's not the national title. And like there's a four of them back in the day, and you know, like you get to the Final Four.
It's like winning the first game of the college football playoffs and losing to Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, like but no one's here saying that they are the same thing as Duke, but they are a powerhouse. They're a perennial powerhouse.
All right, I'm gonna let you and let you and Seth have that.
You got it. Hey, by the way, Keyshawn, I'm gonna give you what I tell Jay Will. Enough. I've had it with you.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
All right, SG.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
The Browns had done a great sell job.
They were willing to do what no other team in contention for Watson was willing to do, which was put down
$230 million in fully guaranteed money.
Cleveland, in my opinion, is the favorite in the AFC North.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are joined now by ESPN senior NFL reporter Jeremy Fowler. Jeremy, good morning. A second grand jury in Texas will not indict Deshaun Watson. How much did the Cleveland Browns know about this case when they acquired him?
Well, I like Jay's DJing there. I was feeling that a little bit. But to get to a more serious matter, you know, the Browns did know about this latest development with the Brazonia County, really a police complaint. It wasn't a charge, and it's been thrown out, so to speak. They will not pursue charges in this case. There will be no misdemeanor charges against Deshaun Watson in that county. And so, you know, the Browns, that's why they waited to schedule Deshaun Watson's press conference for today. They announced it last night after the county decided not to indict or pursue Deshaun Watson. And so that was sort of the variable they were waiting on. They had Watson in Cleveland. He's been there. He took his physical. He's met with coaches and people in the building, and they've really been planning for this press conference, which he knows he needs to show a successful outing in. And so all those pieces were moving around this week, but they were waiting for this case to get some clarity, and they got the answer that they were largely expecting.
Jeremy, do you think now that the second grand jury is not indicting Deshaun that this will have some sort of impact on the potential suspension?
Possibly, but you still have the civil cases, and that could drag on for a while, depending on how that's handled. You know, if that's settled, that could be telling to the NFL. You know, they could have their own interpretation of that. They've already been doing a ton of legwork on this. It's been a better part of the year that they've been investigating Deshaun Watson, so they likely have most of the clarity that they want. But these cases are more on the criminal side. Now you still have the civil situation that has to be sorted out. So the league's most likely going to wait on that. You know, most teams I've talked to have ballparked him missing potentially six games under an NFL personal conduct policy suspension, but there really has been no clarity yet. The teams that pursued Watson a week or two ago, they tried to find out their own information, what they know, what he'll miss next season, but they could never really get a clear-cut answer from the league.
Jeremy, what would you like to hear from Watson and the Browns when they meet with the media today?
Oh, I mean, you know, it's certainly a heavy situation. You know, I think you're looking for, you know, as much honesty and clarity as possible. You know, I'm curious to see how much he will want to discuss the cases and the allegations. You know, if he shuts the door completely on that, then that could be, you know, problematic, because people have been waiting to talk to Watson for the better part of the last year. He's obviously been very quiet, didn't talk during his year in Houston. So this one's definitely going to be less about on the field and more about just, you know, him trying to repair his image. I'm sure that's sort of the goal out of this. But, you know, they're going to have to be, you know, some answers and some accountability moving forward, you know, on how, you know, he interprets all of this, why he believes he's innocent, and it'll go from there.
Thank you, Jeremy Fowler. Appreciate it. Talk soon. Say good.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jeremy.
So, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. When you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance, they save you. Let's go to another story. You can visit progressive.com. Let's go to another story dominating the headlines in the NFL this week.
The latest NFL blockbuster trade. The Kansas City Chiefs are sending Tyreek Hill to the Miami Dolphins.
4 years, 120 with 72 guaranteed.
Tyreek Hill wanted to become the highest paid wide receiver in football.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. Guys, Aaron Rodgers loses another receiver. Like, when we were looking, Key, when we were, you were like, hey, Green Bay's the best place for him. Like, that's where he can win, this and that. He loses, really, let's be honest, the best receiver in the game. And then he loses his deep threat. I mean, they better do something here. Marquez Valdez-Scantling signs a 3-year deal with the Chiefs to replace Tyreek Hill. I know I'm going to be using him in DraftKings this year. Rodgers, as I mentioned, also lost Devontae. Key, what do the Packers do here?
Well, I think there's a couple things they can do, right? You can load up on a couple veterans and then draft some guys. You can go get a Jarvis Landry who's still available, who gives you the intermediate game. OBJ is available if you want to make that run in him again for a second time. Even though he's coming off an ACL, he'll be available to you mid-year football season. Julio Jones is there. What I would do, because there's money left over from Devontae Adams, is I would try to sign all three of them, bring all three, Julio, OBJ, Landry, and then I'll draft two more young receivers. That's what I would do. I bring in four to five new wide receiver weapons for my offense.
You'd have the best, hey, Jay, you'd have the best receiving core from 2016 in the building, but who still has something left, but like Julio Jones and Odell, along with Antonio Brown, go back 5-6 years. Those are three best receivers in football.
No, I didn't say bring AB in now.
No. Yeah. Let's not get hysterical. Yeah.
Why not go out, Key, and try to see what Seattle wants to do with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf? Like, if you're looking at DK saying, hey, why not making that a target for a guy like Aaron Rodgers to have an elite weapon like a DK Metcalf?
Because Seattle's not looking to move him, Jay.
Until they get the right deal. Until they get
the
right
offer, they're not, right? I mean, they're not looking to move him. They want to lock him up long term.
Think about what it would cost to get DK, too, right now. There's so many draft picks.
A lot.
Like Odell, you just give him the money, and you're going to get a deal because of he's coming off injury. And Julio, at this stage in his career, ain't going to cost you anything. It's not going to cost you draft capital. It's not going to cost you actual capital.
Yeah, absolutely. And if Julio is healthy,
he's good.
He could still be a really good player and productive.
But it does occur to me that a lot of fanfare, Jay, Key, about like Aaron Rodgers never throws to a first-round draft pick, never throws to a first-round draft pick. I got to think that the Packers have to use high-end draft capital, like second round at least, on receivers right now, whatever they do in the market, right? They're going to have to draft pass-catching threats.
Yeah, they should, though. I think they absolutely should draft a receiver potentially in the first round. The last time that they drafted one was Javon Walker. That was 20-some years ago, it feel like. So that's a long time ago. And then when you look at it, you got second and later round picks, and there's receivers draft this year is really deep. So they have opportunities to certainly do some stuff at the receiver position. Aaron Rodgers is going to make receivers good no matter who they are.
You think?
I was high on Julio Jones last year, and you kind of talked me out of it, Key. Like, I was high on him when he went to Tennessee.
Yo, Jay, he does that, right? Like, you have a position, makes a persuasive argument, he convinces you of it, and then you turn around, you go, wait. It's the opposite of that?
Max,
you just talked me into it.
Max, was I not right?
You were right. But here's what happens, though, Key. You look at some of the issues that potentially Mike Vrabel and Julio Jones had, right, about him playing, practice, things like that. Like, is that something to think about if you're Green Bay? Like, do you want – like, what kind of compatibility would Aaron Rodgers and Julio have if you're having those issues in Tennessee?
Well, one of the things
I said – Don't you think the same issues would arise in Green Bay?
Well, no. What I said is if he stays healthy, he is a very productive player. There's a value to that. When you trade for him and you give up what Tennessee gave up and you pay that salary that Julio was on, that you were on the hook for, that is when it becomes problematic.
Yeah.
Now, like Max said, it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah, your reactions, Key, your basic reactions are to, you have that reaction when you see the marketplace misvaluing an asset, either under or overvaluating.
Yes.
So when they're overvaluating it, and that's what GMs do, really. Don't go near that. It costs you too much for what you're getting. And then as soon as the market corrects and all of a sudden it's basically for free, you're like, well, why wouldn't I want that for next to nothing?
Yes.
I agree.
Absolutely. It's like Tyreek Hill.
If I'm
a New York Jets, I'd take Tyreek Hill in a heartbeat for what I had to give up. If I'm the Miami Dolphins, I gave up too much for Tyreek Hill.
See, Jay understands that in the marketplace. That's when Jay goes into the stock market. He gets that just right.
It makes sense. Exactly, Max. It makes a lot of sense now. I get it.
Yeah. Jay flying private because he looks for that exact thing in the stock market.
Hey, Listen. Keep my business out of your mouth, Max. Come on, man.
First of all, you're broadcasting somewhere from the Matrix or something. I don't know where you are right now, but listen.
I'm ESPN Chicago. ESPN 1000 Chicago. I'm right here, baby.
Here's the question. We've been having a good time, but this is the question I really wanted to know since all this went down. And Key, coming up, coming up, not just yet, but after SportsCenter, I want to know from you.
Okay.
Who is going to be more affected by losing their top receiver?
Ooh.
Is it Aaron Rodgers or is it Patrick Mahomes? I want to know that. And then I want to know, is Valdez-Scantling better off with Mahomes than Rodgers? I have burning questions I need the answer to. And don't do the thing where you talk me into it, and then next year you tell me the opposite thing, and now I'm confused.
The latest NFL blockbuster trade, the Kansas City Chiefs are sending Tyreek Hill to the Miami Dolphins.
This is now the fastest wide receiver duo in NFL history.
I think the pressure is ramped up as high as you can put it on Tua Tagovailoa.
All right. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. By the way, the question of the day, you can call in 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Does Mark Few need to win a national title? We didn't even know we were going to do this topic to the extent that we're doing it today. But before the show even started, everyone's screaming and hollering at each other about Mark Few and what it means and Hall of Fame. Is he a Hall of Fame? Is it a top program? So we're asking you. You got to settle this for us. 729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Does Mark Few need to win a national title? You can also hit us up on Twitter, at Key J and Max. All right, Key, I got to know. Bigger impact on the quarterback. Who has a greater effect losing their top receiver? Is it Aaron Rodgers losing Devontae, or is it Patrick Mahomes losing Tyreek?
I think it'll be Patrick Mahomes losing Tyreek Hill because he gave him so much giddy up, so much
juice. I'm surprised
by
that.
When you look at Devontae Adams, he's more of a traditional route running wide receiver, kind of everything's in rhythm, where Tyreek Hill meshes really, really well with Mahomes' off-schedule plays, meaning that all of the scramble drills, break open things, and that cheetah can run, man. That thing is a different animal. As you saw in the playoff game, he caught a dig across the middle, turned the corner, and put the deuces up. I mean, that's something special in itself. So I think it'll be, if any effects on a quarterback, I think it'll be Patrick Mahomes because of the off-schedule plays.
Jay, you hear what I hear? Like here's my where my mind goes as soon as you say that, Key. And I know you don't sit there and think I have to balance this with something I've said in the past, but try to square this for me with what you said in the past, okay?
Thank you, Max.
Now,
get it?
Now, when he lost Tyreek, you're like, you know what? That's not the key to that offense. It's Travis Kelce, right? That's who keeps the chains moving, right? Is there anyone in the Green Bay offense that Aaron Rodgers throws to or who runs it that is more of a key for Aaron Rodgers' offense than Devontae Adams? You see what I mean? Like, if Tyreek Hill is a bigger loss for Patrick Mahomes, but he's not Patrick Mahomes' biggest key on the offense, and Devontae Adams is, unless Devontae Adams isn't or wasn't for Aaron Rodgers, right? Can you square that for me?
It would be Aaron Jones in that offense for me because of the balance and the things that he does from a versatility standpoint. Catching the ball out of the backfield, running it in between the tackles, having a running game balances things out for Aaron Rodgers. And what I mean by Patrick Mahomes missing his top target, that's the home run hitter, the go-getter for him. That is an off-schedule play that Patrick Mahomes is a must-have in his system. If you remember when they were struggling, that's because they were taking that away from the Kansas City Chiefs by running the two high. How do you take away what Kansas City was doing so well? You run two shell. You run cover two. Therefore, you don't have the over-the-top stuff getting behind you. Now that's gone. When they got back to that, they flourished in their offense. When they took that away from them, Kansas City struggled. Now that's in Miami. Doesn't mean that he won't have success. It just means that he'll miss him more than Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers. Did I help
Max,
you there?
Yeah, you did. You clarified that. You clarified your point very well. But, Max, I go back to what we talked about yesterday when you said, hey, you like the original cast of certain characters in movies or shows, right? And I love the original cast of what this would be with Kansas City. And even if you bring Juju Smith or you bring Marquez Valdes-Scantling to the table, it just doesn't feel like it's going to be as prolific from what Tyreek Hill brought to the offense because of what you just said, Key, because he takes the top off everything and it makes you honest defensively.
And also, Key, he's like, Tyreek Hill should be a gadgety kind of special teamsy kind of guy, but he can run routes and he can catch the ball. Like, he's not a special teams player. He's actually a receiver, but with next level speed, right? Like, I don't know how. To me, what you said about what Jay just said, what you said earlier about why Mahomes is going to miss him, the off-schedule stuff, to me, that's the magic. Like, Travis Kelce, keep the chains moving. I get it. But the stuff that made me go, oh, the sizzle, as you would say, oh, my God, was Tyreek.
But the thing about it, Max, is this could be a good thing for Patrick Mahomes because those off-schedule plays here and there can get you in trouble. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have the off-schedule plays, now you got to worry about, now you got to concentrate more on your fundamentals and drop back, stay in the pocket, read the defense a certain way, all of those sort of things. Yeah. This could be a good thing for Patrick Mahomes.
Wow. So okay. So there it is. Tyreek Hill, bigger impact on Patrick Mahomes, his absence, the loss of Tyreek Hill. Then Devontae Adams, the loss for Aaron Rodgers, because Adam Jones is the Travis Kelce in terms of the move the chains guy in that offense. Okay. What about Marquez Valdes?
Aaron Jones.
What'd I say?
Adam.
Oh, Aaron Jones. Yeah. Pardon
Pac-Man.
Me. Yeah,
you must
yeah,
be thinking
yeah.
about like a boxer or something.
No. I just, I don't know where I got Aaron from. It could be Aaron. You know, like
a lot of names.
Aaron Rodgers.
A lot of names.
The greatest one in modern sports is Russell Westbrook and Russell Wilson. I mean, like how many times? Oh. It's like every day. But Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Key, like the Kansas City poaches him right from Green Bay. Who is he better off with? Was he be better off staying in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers? Will he be better off with Mahomes now?
See, now both of y'all going to hate me for this because his style is even with both because he's a vertical stretch guy. He's a bomb threat. Mm-hmm. So both of them like to launch the football down the field. I mean, when you look at the most air yards per target, MVS is at the top. 17.5. That means that Aaron Rodgers is letting that thing fly. And what does Patrick Mahomes like to do? He likes to let it fly. Mm-hmm. So he's good with both of them either way. This is why it's perfect for Kansas City when they lost Tyreek Hill. They said, we're saving money. We're still going to get the vertical stretch game. And it makes sense.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance. We asked you to call in and try to settle this Mark Few debate for us. The whole show, Jay and Key and Evan and producers are getting involved in me. Mark Few, and they're great. No, they're not. The Hall of Fame. No, they need to take it to the next level. Every year we hear the same thing. All right. Coach Q wants to weigh in, guys. Good morning, Coach Q.
Good morning, guys. I appreciate you having me on. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I told Evan. Yeah, he does need to win a chip. Calipari didn't get a pass. Neither did Jimmy Boeheim. And he's nowhere near on the level of those guys. I get it. He built a program. Respect due. You got to win a chip. Got to cut down them nets. You want to take it to the next level and cement your legacy. That's just my take.
Mm-hmm. Take it away, Jay. You know what, take it away.
No, I'm down with Coach Q. Coach Q, Coach K. A lot of coaches. But here's my thing. The conversations, guys, that they're having in Kentucky right now, some Kentucky fans are trying to run Coach Calipari out of town. Like, they're trying to, another early exit, St. Peter's. You know, he's not a winner. It's only equated to one national championship. If they're treating Coach Calipari that way because of the expectations with Big Blue Nation, like, when do the expectations for Gonzaga, like a team that we expect to be there every single year, where does that vitriol come from? When does that come to the table? Or does it feel like Mark Few just always gets a pass?
You know, he probably is going to continue to get a pass because, much like Coach Q said and you said, Jay, or even Max said, he built the program, okay? Coach Cal didn't build Kentucky. Kentucky was already there. Kentucky has a rich basketball history, so that's why it's problematic for him at Kentucky. Just like whoever takes over Duke and Coach Shire, it's going to be problematic. North Carolina, problematic. Kansas, because those programs already have history. This is a different situation for the Zags.
Hey, Key, I'm surprised by your response, because usually you preach patience, right? Like, just give it time. It's going to get there.
Patience with who?
But I'm talking about Mark Few for a second. I want to bring it back to Mark Few.
Ain't no patience. He's been there 22 damn years.
But
stop
in the
that,
last
Max.
How many Final Fours has he been in the last 5-6 years, Jay?
He's been to, I think,
three? He's had the number one seed.
And he hadn't been before that, right? Like, if you look, first they started
Max,
getting to the tournament.
He's had the number one seed like 6 times he's been there.
I get it, but look at the trend of his career. To me, my recollection is, anyway, you'd have to look it up, that first he made the tournament. Then he started winning a game in the tournament. Then he started getting the Sweet 16s. And then recently he's been in the Final Four. It's trending in the right direction. Maybe not fast enough for your liking, but he's a dude who took a program
times,
and keeps
Max.
Building it.
Two times.
He's been in the Final Four
2017 and 2021.
Right. That's in the last 5-6 years, he's been in the Final Four. Don't forget, one of those was canceled, right? So the last four tournaments, he's been to the Final Four twice. That's better than he used to do. He's trending in the right direction, isn't he?
How is that a trend in the right direction? You just got bounced last night.
Come on.
I hear what you're saying on that, Key, but my man's knocking at the door. Like, they were a couple plays away from winning it last year.
I ain't buying it.
It ain't perfectly linear. The point is, in recent years, he's doing better than in the tournament than he used to do. And before he got there, there was no tournament, right, for them. So, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
How much pressure is on Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, guys, without their top wide receivers?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. What's our level of concern? Zero, 50, or to the max?
Talk down to the max.
This is Zero to the Max.
Dan Orlovsky joins the show now to play To the Max. Dan, are you familiar with this game? Well, let me go over the rules with you very quickly. It's pressure on QBs. 0, 50, or to the max, okay? Pressure on quarterbacks. Okay. Dan, I know you were born ready, so I can't ask you if you're ready. It's a foregone conclusion.
Born ready.
Here we go.
I'm ready.
Tua Tagovailoa. 0, 50, or to the max pressure this year?
I have Tua at 40.
No.
Can you hear me?
0, it's 50, or it's to the max, Dan.
Oh.
Just told you, Dan, how to play the game.
Dan, look at that. I said born ready, and he immediately changed the rules and everything. 50. Why is Tua 50, Dan?
You can hear me. Okay.
Yes.
50, well, just, first of all, the moves that they've made this offseason are still a big deal. All the offensive talent that they've unloaded on their team, but it's going to be a new scheme, a new system, new offense. I expect Tua to have a really good year. I also understand that he's playing in a brutally difficult division now outside of the Jets in a brutally difficult conference. So there's got to be some reality with expectations attached to Tua as well.
The reality for me is to the max. I think when you look at everything Dan said, they bring in new players, new head coach. They've got to evaluate him to move forward on him. Is he the answer? Will somebody else be the quarterback in Miami next year? It's the max, not only for the Dolphins, but for Tua's future in Miami.
Key, I'm with you all day, brothers, to the max. No excuses. You got your left tackle now. You got deep threats. You have the pieces. You have to make the playoffs, and you have to show that you're worthy of them making you the franchise quarterback. To the max.
I agree. It's to the max. Guys, I just want to point something out. I just put it up. Drew Brees, first season, didn't play, basically. Second season, wasn't very good. He was fine. Third season, same sort of thing. He had his breakout in year 4. Right? Like this is the history of the league. Tua started off.
We don't do that anymore, Max.
I get it, but that doesn't mean that some guys wouldn't develop that way, and you may sometimes move on too early.
Yeah, I agree. But because of Patrick Mahomes, we don't allow that anymore.
Who, by the way, sat his first year. But I would say the pressure, because of what you just said, Dan, is to the max on this guy. Got everything he needs. Russell Wilson, 0-50 or to the max. Dan Orlovsky.
To the max. The amount of draft capital and player-wise that your team gave up to acquire you. The expectation now is that you are a legit Super Bowl contender. I think they're going to have the best offense in that division because of Nathaniel Hackett, their new head coach. They're still incredibly talented, and I think Russell Wilson is in the conversation for top 6-7 players at that position in the NFL.
And to the max as well, for me, Dan, I think everything that you just said, the capital that you gave up, not only that, you are now following a certain trend in the National Football League for teams. Go get a veteran quarterback that you think can win a Super Bowl immediately. Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, all those guys fall under the same umbrella.
D.O. is to the max. When you take the first family photo of the Denver Broncos, with the wife, the kids, and everything. Like, that's just to the max. Like, come along with who Russell Wilson is.
The max. We're seeing him for the first time in the pros in a new town, new system, the whole thing in a monster of a division where he could easily miss the playoffs or win the Super Bowl. To the max on Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers, Dan Orlovsky. Is the pressure on him this year 0-50 or to the max?
To the max, and there's no one in the NFL that I can say to the max more or more resoundingly than Aaron Rodgers. The decision to come back to Green Bay, to stay in the NFC, I understand the loss of Davante Adams. I don't think it's going to be incredibly negatively impactful for their offense. He's got to go win a Super Bowl because of the way that contract is set up.
This is certainly to the Supermax again, Dan. I'm following you. Everything from the contract to everything that we went through last year, everything we went through this past season, just everything we going through, went through the off season, the money, the expectations, all of it. Yeah. And if you want to be the guy in Green Bay and surpass Brett Favre, you've got to go get it done, man. You've got to go get it done.
I know expectations are to the max for him, but like for me, I'm at 50 though, Max, because I need to see
Jay.
Hey, I need to see who he's throwing the ball to.
I'm with Jay, actually, guys. I actually think it's at a 50, and here's part of the sad part of it, right? The expectation that Aaron Rodgers is going to make a Super Bowl run every year, I don't think it's the same anymore. He didn't win a playoff game last year. He just lost his receivers. I could easily see Aaron Rodgers in a situation where, of course, they're going to make the playoffs in that division, right? And then he comes up short. It's like, oh, well, you know, this is the first year, and he didn't have Devontae, and we'll see next year. I think the pressure's actually at a 50. Patrick Mahomes, Dan.
I can't get over the fact that you don't think there's a max pressure on him. I'll say 50 for Patrick Mahomes. I think, number one, because he's got 10-plus years of phenomenal football left inside of him. Two, I think that this football team really offensively, philosophically, is going to be very different, and that's attached to the Tyreek Hill trade. I think that they've wanted to build their football team around the best part outside of him, which is their offensive line, and change some of the stuff that they do schematically on offense. I think they're going to ask just a little bit less of him, and that's going to help his play. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL at that position, might be the best player in the NFL, obviously. I say 50.
Yeah, I say 50 following Dan again. Here's a simple reason. Much like Dan just said, his play is going to change. Remember earlier, fellas, I said Tyreek Hill leaving is going to make Patrick Mahomes a better quarterback. He won't have to rely on off-schedule plays nearly as much. He can get in rhythm, in sync, do the things skill-wise that they're asking him to do, and he'll be a better quarterback for that. 50 is where I'm going.
Max, I got a question. What the hell is going on? Why are Key and Dan agreeing so much? This never happens.
It's a good question.
It's never happens. You know. D.O., is there a
What? Key's my guy.
By the way, I agree. Jay, do you think I agree with 50 on Mahomes?
Because we're making sense, Jay.
So much equity already because he has so much success.
Get him, Dan.
You know what, Dan?
There's a danger they don't make the playoffs in that in that division. I mean, there is. There's pressure there. Patrick Mahomes not allowed to miss the playoffs.
They're going to make the playoffs, Max.
I hope so. Thank
you,
Dan.
You know there's seven teams who make it?
What's that?
You know there's seven teams who make it, Max?
I do. Four may come out of that division. They may have to.
You're
all right.
Savage,
much
D.O.
more coming
You're
right
savage.
Up. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.